All right, we have two readings today. The first is Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. It's on page 26 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Please listen for the word of God. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask me my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. And our next reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. It's on page 933 to 934 in your pew Bible. Again, listen for the word of God. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear were to say, 'Because that I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged for the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, given the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it." The word of the Lord.
So as I said before, it truly is a joy to be here in worship with you all. And I say that because one of my favorite parts of my job is getting to go around and share a little bit about the porch, but also to connect with our PCUSA congregations here in Scioto Valley and abroad throughout the state of Ohio. And so I'm grateful, I truly am, for the opportunity to be here and to worship with you all. It's a joy to see how each church does things in a slightly different way and worships together in unique and exciting new ways. So I thank you for not only having me here, but also for your support of our college students by being in prayer for them and thinking of them as they start off on this new semester. I've already shared a little bit about what we do at the Porch, but it is a joy always to see, as we begin each new semester, the new ideas and the new energy that students bring in. And that is oftentimes mimicked and matched by our congregations, especially during this season. As we are excited for the fall to come, the end of summer, a new chapter begins, so to speak, in the life of education and for teachers and students. We all feel this new change that comes, and so we all share together in it. We talk about this sharing of the body. When one feels something, all the others feel it, and we truly do are connected in that way. A frequent question that we get from a lot of our new students at the Porch each semester, especially in the fall, and maybe it's a question that some of you are wondering yourselves, is how do you get the name Jacob's Porch? And in truth, Jacob's Porch changed its name back in the early 2000s from Lutheran Campus Ministry, as it used to be formerly known, when it became a little bit more ecumenical. But the name is rooted in a couple different passages, and we've heard two of them just today. Our passages from Genesis and 1 Corinthians are two passages in particular that lie at the core of who we are at Jacob's Porch. And it's partially where the name comes from. They are familiar passages to many of us, but for a lot of our students, both those who grew up in the church and those who are encountering Christianity for the first time, they oftentimes hear these passages in a new way during the first couple weeks of the semester. And we just preached on the Jacob Genesis passage a couple weeks ago. The Genesis story of Jacob wrestling with the stranger in the night makes up the obvious first half of our name. Like Jacob, those who walk through the doors of the church often do so wrestling with faith in all of its forms. They come in with questions and doubts and abundance. And we often do so limping sometimes before we even encounter God. Genesis reminds us, though, that Jacob's wrestling, or Israel's wrestling, does not stop at Peniel, but transcends time and space. That Jacob's striving becomes a nation's striving, and the nation's striving becomes the world's striving, trying to figure out who exactly it is that Jacob encountered on the mountaintop that night. And the beautiful thing that we learn from this wrestling and this striving is that God delights in it. That even though we may walk away from that encounter wounded or limping, with questions and doubts and unanswered questions, we do so blessed to walk and grow and learn more about the God that we have encountered. And it's usually around this time that students interject and they say, oh, I get it, and it's a porch because you have a patio with a fire pit. Which is not necessarily wrong, but there's a little bit more nuance to it than that. In our culture, a porch is a temporary place. You don't dwell on the porch, you dwell in the house. The porch hangs on the edge of the house, neither fully inside nor fully outside. It is a place where people stop to talk and share, but then they move on. It is a place that faces outwards and not inwards. We are a place for people to gather for a while and then travel back out into the normal of life. It is temporary, but it is also comfortable. It is inviting, and yet it asks people to go when the time is up. It is a place for easy conversation, but also a place for asking the deeper questions of life and faith beyond the usual. And that is exactly what the church is as well. We are a place where life happens, in a temporary place, where life plays itself out in all of its confusion and reality, as well as its beauty. And then we are called to go back out into our various journeys and paths, seeking God in the time between our meetings. That is what it means to be the body of Christ that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians. The Corinthian church that Paul planted and writes to was a place of intense intersection, a gathering of people that came from wildly different walks of life and then traveled back out into those specific paths when they left their meetings. There were Jewish Christian converts mingling with Greek Gentiles. There were slaves and poor worshiping alongside rich and free. So many stories and lives collided in that space that it seemed almost impossible to establish any sort of cohesive, binding connection. They were too different, too opposite, and too diverse, it seemed. And so the question became, who was welcome and who was not? And Paul urges them to think about things differently. He says, you are a body with eyes and ears, hands and feet, heart, lungs, nose, hair, nose hairs, etc. All of you are needed. All of you are welcome. It was a radical thought for the time, but it was one that the early church had to embrace, not just because it needed to survive, but because that was how Christ had called them to be. If you've been in Presbyterian circles long enough, and especially in North Carolina, where I recently moved from, you may be familiar with musician, author, and speaker David Lamont. It was a joy for us to actually welcome David this past year to share a little bit about his music, but also his work in peace and justice and reconciliation work around the world at the Porch. And he came and shared with our students back in April. But David I met first because he oftentimes frequents the youth and college conferences at Montreat Conference Center in Black Mountain, North Carolina, where he lives. And David has a unique way of starting his small groups when he leads. And it goes a little something like this. He says, if you are a Christian, welcome. If you are an atheist, welcome. If neither of those words captures who you are, welcome. If you are male, welcome. If you are female, welcome. If neither of those words captures who you are, welcome and bless you. If you are straight, welcome. If you are gay, welcome. If neither of those words captures who you are, welcome and thank you for being here. If you have any doubts and questions, welcome. If you think you have it all figured out, okay. Welcome. What a world we would have if we welcomed others in this way. What a world we would have if we welcomed others without first trying to determine if they are worthy of being part of the body of Christ. If we paused for a moment and recognized two things. One, our shared desire to draw closer to God, and the unique places we are all at in our journey with God. There would be no distinguishing between the different parts of the body. There would be no room for hand or foot to say to the other, I have no need of you. And greater still, there would be some recognition of the intrinsic value that each of us holds as part of that body of Christ. And it might oftentimes be tempting to look around and say, well, this person doesn't understand like me, doesn't worship like me, doesn't believe like me, doesn't think like me, let alone look like me. But the claim and call of Christ on their life remains. One of our most relevant rules at the Porch is called not welcome but embrace. And I say most relevant because it has become increasingly common for those who gather in our space to come from a variety of faith traditions or the lack thereof. They come from different political ideologies, and those who did grow up in the church oftentimes come from different denominational affiliations and different understandings of scripture and theology. But we are called to not just welcome these students who are different, but to embrace them fully and without pause. And the church is no different. When we gather together, we all bring our unique and separate gifts. We each bring different experiences, different thoughts and expressions of who God is. And the desire, a lot of times, is to make sure that all present understand what's going on in the service, and make sure that everybody understands when the right time to call and respond is. that everybody understands what we believe and they believe the same thing, so that we might obtain a better sense of comfort and ease in our community. But the truth is, this diminishes voices in our midst into a bland common denominator. To invite people doesn't mean that they are welcomed if they think, act, and believe exactly as we believe. That is welcoming only if they hold that one central thing in common. To embrace means to love fully the person that enters, no matter how uncomfortable they make us feel, no matter how right or wrong they may be, or how right or wrong we may be. We embrace those who join us on the walk that we have undertaken in Christ. And though we may be at different places, though we may think different things, and though we may even seem unchristian at times, we deny that the other is not on the path that we are on if we do not embrace them. If the walk of faith is at present imperfect, then we must honor where they are at in their journey, even if we heartily desire to speed things up or to correct them. One of the things you'll learn about me is that I can't preach a sermon without quoting C.S. Lewis. And so I'm going to close with this. This is in his final installment of the Chronicles of Narnia series, The Last Battle, C.S. Lewis includes a character by the name of Emeth. And Emeth is a Kallerman soldier. He is an enemy of the protagonists. He has brown skin and a different religious upbringing. Emeth is bold, however, in his pursuit of truth. And in the end, he defies his corrupt leaders and is welcomed by Aslan the lion. And Emeth is shocked. He says, "How can you welcome me when I did not know you or seek you?" And Aslan replies, "You did not realize it, but you did." Blessed are those who do not have all the answers, yet boldly look ahead to the coming of truth. Blessed are those who do not feel like they have a place to call home, for they will be welcomed in love. Blessed be the body of Christ, from hands outstretched to feet running to welcome the prodigal home, with all of its different members, gifts, baggage, trauma, opinions, perspectives, and especially its connections. For we have the opportunity to witness the kingdom of heaven in our daily living. And above all else, blessed be the God who models all of this for us first. Friends, may it be so in your lives and in mine. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.